Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The director of the Alaska State Commission for Human Rights is stepping down due to a bumper sticker free speech controversy. Marty Buscaglia resigned in a letter to the commission yesterday. Her letter, included in a story on the website Must Read Alaska, says resignation is in the best interest of the commission so that, quote, the Black Rifles Matter controversy can be put behind us, unquote. The Anchorage Daily News reports that Buscaglia left a state business card with a note critical of a Black Rifles Matter sticker on a truck parked in the commission's Anchorage lot. Buscaglia also posted a picture of the truck and note online. The truck's owner complained, saying the sticker, which includes a depiction of an assault rifle, was an expression of Second Amendment support. The incident drew a call for an investigation by Governor Dunleavy, and the commission's board voted Friday to suspend Buscaglia for 2 weeks without pay. Buscaglia's letter says her resignation will take effect April 26th. Meeting last night, the Fairbanks City Council postponed final vote on an ordinance that would legalize on-site consumption of marijuana at authorized cannabis retail shops. The decision to postpone followed lengthy debate for and against the measure. During public testimony, Blake Burley told council members that allowing on-site consumption would encourage use.
Anytime we open up a substance like this and make it more readily available, more able for people to go, more people are going to use it.
Other opponents cited concern about marijuana DUIs local police believe would increase with on-site consumption. Alaska voters legalized marijuana in 2014, and Lieutenant Dan Wellborn told the council that the number of DUI arrests in Fairbanks has risen from 182 in 2016 to 282 in 2018. Wellborn says impaired drivers often have used both alcohol and other drugs, but it's difficult to single out marijuana based on field sobriety tests.
There may be drug involvement, and we question them about that, and that's noted in our report, but we don't necessarily give a drug test at that point.
Those favoring adoption of the ordinance, like Pearson Kennedy Crosby, emphasize that marijuana is legal, and it makes sense to allow a place for people to consume it.
I believe it's both irresponsible and impractical to legalize cannabis and not give us a legal designated place to use it.
Councilmember Shoshana Kuhn says that's the main reason she co-sponsored the ordinance to remove the city's ban on on-site consumption. She says she's heard from many area residents, especially renters and others who face limits on when and where they can smoke cannabis.
We as a city are offering a product that currently can lead to fines or eviction. We have an ethical duty to listen to constituents and represent them all.
Kuhn says on-site consumption at retail cannabis stores also would offer a place for tourists to smoke the drug. Ordinance co-sponsor Councilmember Catherine Otterston says it would enable disadvantaged people to benefit from therapeutic cannabis use.
We wind up in a situation where certain people who are able to be in homes and own them have access to alternative ways of helping them health-wise that other people do not.
Fellow council members Jerry Cleworth, David Prues, June Rogers, and Valerie Therrien were not convinced and all said they would vote against the ordinance. Most cited concerns raised by police. Prues added the measure would also exempt up to 8 cannabis retailers from the state's smoke-free workplace laws.
I cannot do that. I cannot give them a special privilege.
The 2014 ballot measure that legalized marijuana specifically said it would not legalize public consumption. But in an exchange with marijuana industry representative Brandon Emmett, Councilmember Jerry Cleworth conceded it can be interpreted differently.
What did that mean to you?
I would think that would mean people not walking down the sidewalk smoking marijuana cigarettes.
On Cleworth's suggestion, the council postponed voting on the ordinance until its April 22nd meeting. Cleworth said the issue should be decided by Fairbanks City voters, and an expected substitute ordinance could put the question of on-site consumption before voters in the fall. A bill gaining traction in Congress could nullify many federal prohibitions on marijuana in states like Alaska that have legalized cannabis. Alaska Public Media reports that both of Alaska's U.S. Senators and Congressman Don Young are co-sponsors of the bill known as the States Act. The bill was introduced in the Senate by Massachusetts Democrat Elizabeth Warren and Colorado Republican Cory Gardner. It says the Controlled Substances Act could no longer be used to prosecute a person who is abiding by state law on the sale, manufacture, or possession of marijuana. A few activities would remain illegal under federal law, like employing minors in the cannabis trade or selling recreational marijuana to people under age 21. The bill would also leave in place the ban on interstate transportation of marijuana. The States Act was introduced last week. It has co-sponsors from the far left and the far right in Congress.
My name is Matt Gaetz. I represent the right edge of the cannabis reform movement.
Republican Congressman Matt Gaetz is one of President Trump's most vociferous supporters in the House. He says he's sure Trump will sign the bill if it passes. A separate House bill called the Safe Banking Act would allow a state's legal cannabis industry to use federally regulated banks. Congressman Don Young is also a co-sponsor of that bill, which passed a House committee in late March on a bipartisan vote. The University of Alaska Board of Regents took a first step yesterday toward phasing out the education department at the Anchorage campus. As Alaska Public Media's Wesley Early reports, the regents voted to eliminate seven initial licensure programs which are losing accreditation.
The recommendation came from UA President Jim Johnson, whose plan is to eliminate the University of Alaska Anchorage's education department following its loss of national accreditation for some of its programs in January.
I have recommended that we not continue those programs and that instead UAF and UAS, with continued coordination from the Alaska College of Education, provide their programs to students in Anchorage.
Both the University of Alaska Fairbanks and the University of Alaska Southeast have nationally accredited education programs. Under Johnson's plan, education classes will be taught in person and through online courses from UAF and UAS teachers. The largest point of opposition to Johnson's plan came from Juneau-based Regent Dale Anderson. Anderson says that the process was done without collaboration between the board members on how to proceed. Anderson also accused Johnson of consolidating most of the initial licensure program responsibility to the Fairbanks campus.
Fairbanks has never accepted the fact that the School of Education is in Juneau. And they're constantly bickering, and this turf war is totally wrong. It needs to be stopped.
Six of the seven programs would be moved to UAF's education department. UAS currently houses the College of Education. Board Chair John Davies of Fairbanks agreed that the process for what to do with UAA's education department went by quickly, but he noted that the community requested an urgent response.
One of the biggest concerns that we had was that we were hearing from the students that they thought that we weren't acting fast enough. And so that's the reason why we're having this meeting today and why we're having it in this manner.
In the end, the board voted 6-5 in favor of Johnson's recommendation, which would take effect September 1st of this year. The next step of Johnson's recommendation is to eliminate the rest of UAA's education department effective July of 2020. The State Board of Education requires that students graduate from a nationally accredited education program to receive teaching licenses. In Anchorage, I'm Wesley Early.
And I'm Dan Bross.